Twists and turns, but you stayed faithful. You're here. You're about ready to graduate. Hey, can we affirm him? Let's give him one more hand of applause. Stay faithful. Yeah. You inspire me. You do. Hey, a little introduction. I'm Ron Whitehead. I have a very weak voice here today. I apologize. I tried to get some water in me and some things. If you know a little bit about me, I run the Campery Oshkosh in about 2 or 3 days in there. I lose my voice, and it's not because I'm ill or anything. I just don't get sleep. When I lose sleep, I lose voice, and the last few days have been pretty tough for some of our summer camps. You might be aware, I work at the Center for Youth Evangelism downstairs. It's like a laboratory for youth ministry. It's one of the most creative places on the planet for youth young adult ministry. The ideas that come out of there and the students that work there. And then I also serve at the union office as the union youth director for Lake Union and a few other things. But in the context of those responsibilities, I have to travel a little bit. So I just got back in Jakarta Friday, Indonesia. We had a large gathering of young people, and there some radical religious people first came to us. We were in an outdoor place. We got all the permits. But they came to us and they explained that, you know, if they just give them some money, that they'll let us continue on. And then we explained the permit and everything, and they explained to us that, you know, violence can happen. And so we had to take this big youth group and put them indoors and try to protect the event. It's a strange world we're in right now. You sense that? I watched all the Republican stuff last week as much as I can, and then I'll watch everything here, Democrat. It's I like the debate of ideas and viewpoints, and I really enjoyed one of the presenters last night. I thought she nailed it, some thoughts that really spoke to me. And then, you know, I'm watching people in uniform, not all, but a few, do ugly stuff to people. And then I watch a few, not all, but a few people do ugly things to others. Is this better? And so, yeah, we'll try this one. I think there's an echo. Is that what you're picking up? And I'm watching people not listen to each other. You know, it's different times. And now you've been called into existence right now at the end of the history of this planet, in my mind, to be a pastor, to tell people about Jesus, his love, and the complexity of the earth that we live in right now, and ugliness all around the planet where people are doing ugly things to each other. I pray for you, you know. I just came back from Camp Asabel last night. This weekend, Sabbath, I was at Big Lake Camp. We lost a staff person there, fell off a mountain top. Had a service for him. His family are not Christians. He came to Christ at our summer camps. We call them summer camps, but I call them annual youth evangelism events. That's what they are every summer. It's 6-8 weeks of youth evangelism. We just happen to call it summer camp, but it's much more if you understand what goes on at those places. And so I was with a young man yesterday. We lost, had a drowning, a staff person at the Camp Asabel Sabbath afternoon. And I was with some young people most of the night in Big Lake through Saturday night, and then most of the night at Asabel. And these young adults are really hurting. I mean, have you ever held someone that's crying so hard they can't get their breath? They just can't. They heat up. I mean, they just... The grief and the depth of grief is so, so deep. So that's why my voice is running on empty. But my spirit is not, because I have a hope. In our scripture reading today, by the way, thank you for each one that participated in the music. Outstanding, you too. You're hired. If you're not already, we're hiring you. We'll figure it out that way. I have some friends that came to seminary when I was going through the program, and we said, we don't want to be here. We want to be out where the action is. You know, kind of relax. Think about this. You're either paying yourself or someone's paying you to take some time to get close to God and get some tools for ministry so you can get out there and be even more effective. Even more effective. I remember we did some road trips, me and my friends. We'd jump in the car. We'd go see whatever church was growing, Adventist or not. We'd just do road trips on the weekend, and we'd split the gas money, whoever had money that month, and actually what it ended up being. And great memories. Enjoy your seminary time. And those are at the end, you know. I hope it's something you can reflect back on and be more effective because you're here. We have some amazing professors here that are very practical, experienced people. Just harvest as much wisdom off of them as you can. Yeah. So we have a message for you today. Last time I presented here, it was an expository message. And every time I present, especially to colleagues like you in the seminary, I like to give you some tips and tricks about how to be more effective with pulpit. And maybe it fits you, maybe it doesn't, maybe you have your own approach, but I'll give you some. Today we're going to do a topical presentation. And let me have a quick word of prayer and we'll go right there. Father, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you in the chaos of the planet. We know it's going to get worse before it gets better. And so help us to be instruments, voices, influencers that'll help people prepare for your return. We pray it in your name. Amen. A few years ago, my dad and I, we were close during my high school years because we worked on cars together. I restore antique classic cars, 55, 56, 57 Chevys are my specialty area. I've sold most of them to try to get through college and seminary, but I kept one. I have a 57 Chevy convertible, so I kept one. It's worth more than all my other cars I have in the parking lot out here with 300,000 miles on it. I couldn't afford it now, but I got it when I was 16, 17, so that's what kept us together. You know, but then we kind of grew apart as we got older, and you get married, and you can't spend time together for Thanksgiving and Christmas because you have to be with your wife's, you know, it's complicated, holiday time, all that. So we said to each other, we got to get together. When are we going to do that? He says, Super Bowl weekend. I said, you got it. Super Bowl weekend, no matter where I'm on the planet, where you are, let's get together at the house, at the base, and let's just, no matter who's playing, let's just watch. So we really usually don't care who's playing. We'll just choose opposite teams to make the game interesting. You know what I'm saying? And then we put up a chalkboard and we rate the commercials. It's the highlights, the commercials. And we have, it's a scale 1 to 10. We rate the commercials. We had a great time and always good food. You know, that's another reason to show up. So it was just fun. It was just fun. And then one day there was a commercial that came on years ago. You can Google this up. If you need to, probably, you need to. It's a few years ago, and a little lady cocked her head like a cocker spaniel. She was marketing a fast food restaurant, and she says with this voice, where's the beef? And it showed a bun with a little beef patty right in the middle. And, of course, what they're marketing is come to our place, our fast food, and you'll have real beef, you know, kind of thing. But all the competition was talking about, it just caught the attention of the culture at the time. Where's the beef? And today, as we progress through message, we're going to ask you, where's the beef, where's the meat in your relationship with Jesus Christ? In the New Testament, Paul talks about the fiber, the meat, that you need to have as spiritual leaders of your home, of your church, or whatever calling God's put on you. Where is the beef, where's the meat in relationship with Jesus? Well, here you go. There's a text that we had this morning. It's a promise from the King Creator Universe. It's a promise. In all the chaos and the confusion and the complexity of the planet right now, he has this assurance. Back in the day, the disciples were very nervous, like some people I meet here today. You know, what's going on? Why is this happening? How can we fix this? Sometimes you can't fix it. But we talk, you know, they were worried, they're nervous, and he says to them, the disciples of the past, disciples of the present, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are a few mansions. What does your Bible say, balcony? Many, isn't that right? Isn't that good? I mean, many. Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you the promise keeper gives us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I might come again. What does your Bible say? I will come again. It's a promise from the Creator, the King of the universe. My dad tells me when he was growing up as a kid, People would transfer livestock and property on a man's word and handshake. Not anymore. Doesn't work that way anymore. Very different. Where I am, there you may be also. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I love that. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. A promise from the Creator, King of the universe. There are three things that we need to, I call them fundamentals, that we need to incorporate into our lives to prepare ourselves, our families, and our community for the return of Jesus Christ. Three things are important. I love basketball. I'm a legend in my own mind. I was pretty good a few years ago. I probably am now if I talk to myself a little bit. But I loved getting up on the rim. Michael Jordan was in his prime when I was here at the seminary. My kids went to school, Muhammad Ali's kids at our Avon school down the road. I mean, I'd go over there, I'd get some special seats. It was just a good time. I mean, and obviously I didn't make the NBA. I don't know what happened, but they didn't call. I don't understand what happened there. But I love basketball, and there's some, my coach, as I was going through, he talked about the fundamentals, because I like to do the fancy stuff. I like to do a lot of the stuff that was just because the crowd loved it, and I loved it because they loved it. But he said the fundamentals. And in the context of our walk, with God, you know, the fundamentals is what we're going to talk about today as we prepare for the return of Jesus. Three things we need to incorporate in our lives. Personally, I'm talking about, okay? Number one, prayer. Prayer is so important to your relationship with Jesus. It's so critical to your walk with God. I went through a little phase of my life in my high school days. I'm embarrassed to tell you some of this. My Caribbean friend here doesn't. He's working on his Greek. We've prayed for you here today. And I think you think I'm more special than I am because I'm going to tell you a story. When I was going through my high school years, I was trying to figure out God and things. And so I went off to a school from Atlanta, Georgia. I went way away, and they take you in a bus to this mall every once in a while. They have you off at the school most of the time. I just made a switch. I grew up on a cattle ranch as a kid, and a beef cattle ranch. And so I grew up on beef and everything. But I keep hearing this vegetarian thing. I want to try it. And if you ever try it, you're hungry all the time. When you make that switch, I mean, it is really tough. I mean, you're just, oh. And so I was off at this school. They took us to town. I just made this, you know, this diet switch, and I was really hungry. I had no money, but there was a Western Steer, if you know what that is, steakhouse, and it's called All You Can Eat for 99 cents salad. I said, that's where I got to go. So I went there. I was all alone. Got my tray, but there's little fine words that says, all the salad you can eat, but just one time through. So I thought, oh man, what am I gonna do? So I got a tray, I put my plate down, I put my lettuce on, my Thousand Island, because you can stack this stuff, you know, it sticks together, more salad, more thousand, just stack it, it's like a volcano, you understand what I'm saying? And you go down the salad bar, you have all that ice, you know, little trinket stuff, you put it on, and you get down to the bread, the croutons, which I love bread. I hope there's bread in heaven. Is that right? There has to be. If it's heaven, it's got to have bread. So you ever notice the crouton, little bowl? It's a little spoon. And it's like, okay, one crouton. Okay, two. Okay, I got two on there. Okay. No. Just put the thousand on top and take it out of the ice and just pour it all over the it sticks. Some goes on the tray. You can visualize it. Went to my seat, you know, at the restaurant. I look to my right, there's someone I didn't know in front of me. I didn't know these people over here. I didn't. And behind me, what am I going to do? Because ever since I was a little kid, my parents told me, you know, you're blessed. You have food. People don't have food all over the place. You know, I mean, you're a blessed young kid. You know, and I remember one time, I grew up in the South, and some of you understand this, some of you won't. But if you smart mouth your mom, You get a little communication. I don't know how to explain it different. I'm trying to be politically correct here. But I grew up in that. And I remember one time I didn't eat everything, because when you put stuff on the plate, you eat everything on the plate. That's the house rules. So I didn't do that. And I tried to hide it in the napkin, a few things. And so she catches everything. Mom was just this omnipresent. And so she looks at me, and one day I was not eating everything, and she says, you know, you need to, And she reminded me, those people don't have the food. You know, we're blessed. And I, smart mouth that I was at that stage of my life's stupidity, I would say to her, well, name one. Name somebody. And as soon as I said it, I said, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. I was waiting for the wind to come by, you know. But all I saw in her eyes was just this huge, huge disappointment. I mean, just like, you don't get it. You don't, I mean, it just, and she teared up, and I just, it hurt me more than if she would have hit me, you know, just, well, touched me. Here I am at this restaurant. Before I'm about to eat, mom's not there, dad's not there, no pastor, no Pathfinder leader. I'm there all alone, right? I'm getting ready to eat. Nobody around me I know. It's time to pray, right? But I'm looking. I say, I don't know these people. Why, you know? But I need to pray. That's how I was raised. And I believe that. That's good. So here's the embarrassing part to my Caribbean friend. I took my napkin out, and I put it on. I put it all the way out like this, and I made it work really big, just like this. And I took it out, and I threw it out in front of me, and it came down to my lap. I said, Heavenly Father, bless my food. Amen. Did you get it? Huh? Did you get it? I prayed, right? You got it? You got it? They didn't know, but you got it, you know. It's interesting, the phase of life I was in. I was more worried about what other people thought than what he thought. Prayer is so important to your relationship with Jesus. So important. Who's our perfect example in Scripture? Not a trick question. Starts with a J. Jesus, right? Think, colleagues, what kind of a prayer life did he have? Was it like, ho-hum, I got tests coming up, it's time to talk. You know, I got some work issues, I got some family, it's time to talk. What kind of a prayer life did our Savior have? Our perfect example. There's many times, you can think to yourself, there's many times that we find Jesus praying all night long. Colleagues, when's the last time you prayed all night long about anything? Colleagues, when's the last time you prayed for 1 hour? When's the last time you prayed for 15 minutes? Colleagues, 5 minutes. 2 minutes. When's the last time you prayed? Not because someone up front asked you to pray. I'm talking about, when did you start? When's the last time you really prayed to your best friend, your Savior? Prayer is so important to your relationship with Jesus in preparing yourself and your family and everyone you influence for the return of Jesus. Prayer is critical. It's fundamental. Number two, Bible study. Bible study is critical to your walk with God. Critical, so important, Bible study. There's this classic story. Young lady is at the mall, bought a book, started reading it. It was boring, threw it in the corner of her apartment. Sad she bought it. That night, she was off at a social with about 30, 40 people. She looked across the room, and she saw a handsome young man, much like Pastor Williams and myself, you know, really, you know. He was a hunk, is what the term I heard, hunk, is chiseled in different places, you know. And so she took her elbow and poked her friend, says, hey, do you know him across the room? And the friend said, yeah, I know. And so, can you introduce him to me? Ha, ha, ha. You know how this goes. And so they get across the room at the punch bowl. It's perfect timing would have it, and introductions were made. The friend melts away. The conversation starts. And what brought you to town? Where do you, you know. Where's your background? What do you, you know, just chit-chat stuff. Eventually, he asked her, you know, what are you doing? I'm in school. She says, well, what do you do? I'm an author. Oh, interesting. I love reading. She says, what have you written? And he says, well, I've written this book, this book, this book. Ding, 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 ding. She says, I just bought that book at the mall. Oh, he says, what do you think of it? Oh, I just got the book. So the social's over. She jumps in her little Volkswagen Bug Beetle thing and heads back to the apartment. She busts through the front door of her little apartment. Where's the first place she went? Yeah, where's that bedroom? Where's that book in the corner of the bed? She picks up that book. She starts reading that book. It's the most interesting, the most relevant book she'd ever read in her whole life. Why? Because she met the author. Colleagues, if you're having a hard time getting into the Word, maybe you need to reintroduce yourself to the author. Maybe you need to reconnect. By the way, if I step on your toes today, you can step on mine on the way out. I brought my old shoes. Bible study, so critical. And many people say, well, Pastor, I'd love to get in the Word of God, but I just don't have time. You don't understand, especially students. I'm an SA president. I'm the captain of the football team. I'm captain of everything, actually, and I run the school. And I just don't have time. Or if I talk to people that are in a career, you know, I just started this career. I'm going to go back to school, get this. If I just didn't start this job right now, if I just had some time, you know, I could get in the Word. You know, it just no time. Well, here you go. I'm going to give you some time right now. What do you do? I love talking to my California friends when I'm out there. So what do you do when you commute to work? Well, that's kind of dumb, Pastor Ron. I just turn on the radio, talk radio, you know, and listen to what's going on in the world. Oh, how long does it take you to get to work? I met a guy, it takes him an hour and a half, one way to get to work, hour and a half. And he only goes like 6 miles. No, I'm just kidding. It's a little bit more than that. But I'm just picking on my California friends here. It's somebody's called to live there. That's good, yeah. We have 2 stoplights. I get upset when I have to, you know, people in front of me here in Bering Springs. Come on, you know. When I go back to the big city where I grew up, it's, here you go. What do you do when you commute? So what you do is you turn on the radio, right? And you listen to the world falling apart. Yeah, that's exactly what I do. You know, so I'm relevant and I get to work, I can have a conversation. I said, well, you do that for an hour and a half? Yeah, that's what I do. I said, what do you do on the way home when you commute home? Well, I just turn on the radio again. Oh, I say, so you go to work listening to the world falling apart, and then you go all the way home listening to it still falling apart. He said, that's what I do, yeah. I said, well, think, buddy. You say you don't have time for Bible study. Why don't you just listen to the first 10 minutes, top of the hour and the bottom of the hour? By the way, anybody here in media, you know what I'm talking about. That's where the real meat of the mess, you know, the whole news is. In the first 10 minutes, top of the bottom of the hour. Everything else is just trying to get you to stay on that radio station, to sell you something you don't need, really. You know, come on. So I explained that to them and this group of men that I was with, and they said, we get it. So they figured out how to, even at the conference, how to get MP3 players. They shared Bible study, Bible messages, as well as scripture readings. You go to the Christian bookstores, there's all kinds of MP3 things, dramatized things. And so I just gave them is over an hour and a half of Bible study every single day. They're commuting back and forth to work. What do you do when you mow the lawn? I love getting my friends in Middle America, no, they have these huge lawns in Texas, especially. They're mowing lawns all summer because it's always summer there. And they're mowing. What do you do? They say, well, I just mow the lawn. I just go back and forth. You know? Why don't you put on this little device, you know, and put a little thing here, MP3 player? Why don't you put scripture once a week when it takes you an hour, 1 or 2 hours to mow that lawn? Why don't you just put scripture in your head? Yeah. And then, ladies, I love to talk to ladies, especially teenagers. So, what do you do in the morning when you work on your hair? Well, that's kind of dumb, Pastor Ron. I just work on the hair, you know, for a couple hours, you know. When you're a teenager, my twin girls, I mean, it took forever. I mean, there was noises that came out of there, spray, smells. They came out looking really great, but it just took some time. We only had one bathroom, so it was kind of inconvenient. But they took it over, you know, took the place of only one sink. Dad, we need 2 sinks. I think if they had 3 sinks, it wouldn't make any difference. But what are you doing there? They're just working it. I said, ladies, what do you do every morning when you get the hair going, get the thing on, put the face on? I think you had a face already, but they had to put more face on. And what do you do? Well, I just work on that. I said, why don't you just use a device with a little speaker on it? You hit it, and it'll give you a scripture study every single morning for that 10, 20 minutes, whatever. It's scripture study. Okay, I'm going to step on your toes again. Everyone in this room, you have time to do what you want to do. You watch the movies you want to watch. You read what you want to read. You spend time doing things you want. If you want to make Bible study a priority, you'll find the time. I'm talking to myself too, okay? We'll find the time. Who's the perfect example of scripture study? It'd be Jesus again, wouldn't he? He's our perfect example in the Bible. What kind of a student of the Bible, the Word of God, is he? Remember we came over the top of the hill, John the Baptist at the bottom? And he went down to the bottom, and there's a dialogue took place. You need to baptize me. Yes, no, yes, no. Yes. Okay, we'll do it. Here's one place in the scripture, several places I found, but this one's most evident. Some people don't believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And here we got the baptism taking place, the Son representing himself, right? The dove representing Holy Spirit. And then the voice, the Trinity, all in one place, one time. The baptism took place. When he went to the desert, follow me, colleagues. When he went to the desert, who's out there? Yeah, the bad guy. He's waiting for him. Just compromise, destroy. That's his agenda for you and for the Savior. Compromise him and then destroy him. That's what he's trying to do. Every time, repeat, every time Satan threw a temptation at Jesus, our Savior, how did he respond? He said, "It is written." You can't repeat scripture unless you study scripture. Prayer, Bible study. Number three, your testimony, your witness. Your testimony, your witness. So important, your relationship with Jesus in preparing for the return. Going through Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, I had my full suit on. I had my little suit bag. This is a few years ago when they allowed for people to hand out flyers in the airports. And so I'm walking, and you know, they have these little trolley things that they put people on. It looks like they could walk fine, but they try to hit you. You know what I'm talking about in this crowd? And so we're going. I'm walking fast as I can. And this guy about this height, he comes up beside me. He says, sir, I need to talk to you about your salvation. I said, that's a great topic. I just don't have time right now because I'm trying to get between airplanes. And so I'm walking fast, and I'm walking. So this guy starts trotting next to me. Trot. You know, he's right there. I said, he says, today, if you should die, do you know you have salvation? I said, I sure do, but thanks for that. So I went from second gear to third gear. You know, and I got these long legs. I love these exit row aisles, you know. And so I started really walking fast. So he starts trotting, coming alongside of me, stuffing pieces of paper underneath my arm. I don't know why. What are you doing? So I thought, man, I'm just going to go to the sixth gear. So I just went. I mean, I'm just flying as fast as I can now. He's zigzagging with me. I come around a corner, one of those little golf carts, boom, hit him like a cartoon. I don't know where he went. I just kept going. I'm not sure where he went. Hope he's okay. I'm sure he is. They have nice bumpers on those things, you know. So now, was his witness testimony to me positive or negative? Negative. Good questions, wrong time. You know, you think about our testimony, you know, as we think, who are the hardest people, by the way, to witness to? It's the people we love the most. It's the people we're closest to. That's the hardest. So I'm going to give you the secret, the Jesus secret. Our perfect example of scripture. How did he witness? How did he testify? Was it placards and putting blowhorns in people's ears and all? I'm going to jump up and down twice. You ready? Here's once. Okay, here's twice. That's about as high as I can go. That's why I don't play basketball anymore. Here's the perfect way to witness is Jesus' perfect example. Colleagues, just live the life. Just start living what you say you believe. Just start living what you say you believe. Words are cheap. Years ago, growing up in Georgia, I'll tell the story in first person with permission. He was in southern Georgia. He would travel the world with a Hasselblad camera, take pictures. Have you ever heard of a carousel, a slideshow? You know what that is? You can go to the Smithsonian Institute. They're there now. It's a device where you'd show pictures about where you travel, where you go. He had this thing going on. He'd take pictures all over the world when people didn't travel much, come back home to his little tiny church, and invite the church over, and he'd show these pictures, right, at his house. And as he did that, here's what happened. Everybody was just moaning and groaning. They didn't want to go, except the food was delicious. So he would come back with his travels and show this slideshow. But they were boring. He'd take a picture. Here's my suitcase. Click, click. Here's my suitcase. Closing. Click, click. Here I am walking to the taxi. Click, click. Here's a little slide comes. It was just, it was long and laborious. Well, he's on one of his trips. He's in Beirut, Lebanon. Back in the day, it was some challenges. On top of the observation deck. He looks around, a lot of security and police and military security starts getting around him. And he got nervous. He stopped one of them. He says, "What's happening? What's going on?" He says, "Have you not heard? King Hussein himself is flying into the airport." And my friend got all excited. He says, "I'm going to take more pictures. Everybody will want to come to my slideshow." So he was all excited. Pretty soon, the drone of a DC-9 circled. It descended. The big, massive door opened. King Hussein himself stepped to the front door. They came down the steps. They came into the crowd. They hugged one another as they do in that part of the world. The music played. And then my friend looked over his right shoulder and came up with a bright idea. He put his Hasselblad camera together, put it back in the suitcase, little suitcase, ran down the steps, ran out to the front of the airport, jumped in a big, long, dark limousine in the back seat, jumped in there. And this is back in the day when security is much different than it is today. And he jumped in the back seat, and he looked at the driver. He tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Sir, as soon as those three long, dark limousines over there pull off, you pull in right behind them." And the driver says, No. My friend took some paper out of his left hand, put it in his right hand. He leaned up. He says, "Can you do it for me now?" And the driver says, "Well," he took some more paper out of his hand, put it, leaned up, said, "Can you do it for now?" "Yeah, we can do this." As King Hussein and his party came out, perfect timing, they jumped in their limousines, the three long dark, he came in right beside, joined the king's party, headed toward the king's palace. He's from southern Georgia, Valdosta, if you know the area, right above Florida. He says, "Ron, it was the most exciting thing that's ever happened to me in my whole life." And you know he's going to tell you a story, so you just kind of get it out of him. "So what happened?" He says, "I felt like a celebrity." I said, "Really?" "Yeah." He said, "People were waving at me." I says, "No." He said, "Yeah, people waving at me." I said, "What'd you do, George?" "I'd wave back." He said, "I just waved back. It just felt, we'd come around corners, people three and four deep, they're just waving. Pretty soon we came around another corner and people were tapping on my window." I says, "No, they're that close." "Yeah, it's real tight street." He says, "Oh," I said, "what'd you do, George?" He said, "I tap back, tap, 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 tap." He says, laughing. He said, "But pretty soon I put down my window. Put down my window." He says, "Really, George?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Pretty soon people would throw flowers into my limousine." I said, "No." He said, "Yeah." I said, "What'd you do, Fred?" He said, "I picked them up and threw them back." He said, "It was great." Oh, he said, "But we came around another corner. We looked at this long, narrow road. At the end of the road is two massive gates and two large guards with automatic weapons. Every limousine that went up to that large gate had to stop. And the authority people leaned down, identified everyone in the limousine, and then motioned them into the king's courtyard, into the palace. The first limousine went through that way," he says, "the second, the third." And then he says, "I leaned up in the back seat. I tapped my driver on the shoulder. And I says, 'Pull over. I'm not a part of the king's party. I'm not a part of the king's party.'" Question: are you a part of the king's party? Are you a child of the king? Listen to me. Have you given your heart to Jesus? Are you a child? Have you given it? I'm not asking about a lot of theology things. Are you a child of the king? And if you answer me yes, where's the beef in your relationship with Jesus? Where's your prayer life? Where's your Bible study? And where's your witness? Because let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, by the way, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let's pray. Father, I pray for my colleagues in this room. I pray that they will remind themselves how important their prayer life is, their Bible study life is, and their testimony or witness is while they go through school here at the seminary. I'm not talking about classwork stuff. I'm talking about